Hey, what's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning in. This is Michael Mann, and this is your Loan Officer Experience. Today's podcast is a treat. I actually started as a phone call with a friend, Derek Cheney, and turned into the life and story of how I got started in the mortgage industry. Ups and downs, my failures, my successes, what drives me, what drove me to be what we are today. How I lost everything, how we came back. Man, if you are looking for drive, motivation, reasons, looking to relate, this is your podcast. Give me your feedback after you're done. 5-star this thing. Without further ado, let's get started.
So let's start from the beginning. Yeah, let's go from the beginning. Why did you get into the mortgage business? Not how, but why?
Most honest answer I have on that one is just I hated my job. I didn't hate my job. I just had a low paying job that I had to be at every day at a certain time. And I would say I got into the mortgage business for freedom and flexibility.
Okay.
And what's funny about that
take
is
notes too, if you don't mind, even though we are recording this.
Yeah, I'm going to take notes as well. So in case I have to come back to something. But so that would have been my answer a couple of years ago. I would have said, oh, well, I got in for freedom and flexibility and the possibility to make more money.
Okay.
And then that would have been it. But what I know now, which is funny, is I got into the business for freedom and flexibility, and I didn't really ever achieve freedom and flexibility until 8 years later when I instilled the discipline and the structure, which is two words that I don't like, and I never had, and I was, I got minuses on that in my report cards in high school.
We all did. We wouldn't have been in the mortgage business without that. That's right. How we got in.
And back then I was only doing refinances, so I wasn't really held too much to the client. Mm-hmm. But now that, in the purchase market, there's no freedom and flexibility. It's structure. Yeah. It's discipline. It's by this date and time. And it wasn't until we instilled those discipline and structures until I realized freedom and flexibility. And I didn't even know what the hell freedom and flexibility meant at that time. I just thought I could do whatever I want, come and go as I please. I didn't have a boss, and just make boatloads of money. So that's why I got in the mortgage business.
Right. And then, okay. So now let's take us through a little bit of the details. So how long ago was that?
That was September of 2002.
Okay, September 2002, and then you started as an LO somewhere, working at a broker shop maybe, or a small place, wherever you can get a job?
Absolutely. So I was offered a job in the mortgage business after a couple of beers, or a couple dozen beers, after a softball game by some really big dude with a big chew in his mouth, who is a really great friend, who was a good friend of mine then.
Yeah.
I went to work for him. Come full circle, he now works here. So we still work together. But I remember the story, man. He puts his arm around me, breath smelling like beer and chewing tobacco. And he goes, you know, Mike, man, you're good at talking to people. You should get in this thing called a mortgage business. Because we just take people from one rate to a lower rate, pay all their costs. We make thousands of dollars. I looked at him, said, that sounds cool. How do I begin? He goes, come to my office tomorrow. I'll show you the mortgage business. That's how I started. That was it.
Wow. And that's so cool. And so then you're LO, and then you work for him for a little bit. And then at some point, I mean, I remember your name. I don't know if I remember talking to you, but I definitely remember your name. So you were there when I was there. So you had to be there relatively early from
2009.
Yeah.
February 2009, I think.
Did you come in as a branch? Did you start your own branch there? Or were you an LO?
Man, I got stories, dude. So I worked, I'll give you the short version, but it's all relative. I worked for the broker shop for doing refinances, FHA Streamlines, for about 2.5-3 years. Mm-hmm. Broke off with three other partners, started a small branch with a regional lender, regional correspondent. One day I had a Jerry Maguire moment. I sent an email and copied the entire company. 2 minutes later, our access was canned, and we were not in business anymore. And I wanted to take my branch from that company over to Fairway. There was another Fairway office right here in the office. And I was going to come work under this guy as a branch manager. that's what he told me, but what he told Fairway was I was just a loan officer. Mm-hmm. So it was a really weird thing. I didn't get the intro. I didn't get the Fairway day. Mm-hmm. Everything had to go through him. He was taking like 40 bips. Mm-hmm. Price sheet was like way off the hook. And the funny part about that was people that were with me at the time quit the mortgage business or just left. Mm-hmm. So it came down to just two people, me and my partner, Jake. At the time, he was my loan partner. Mm-hmm. So we came in as a branch, producing branch manager. That was my hallucination. And then this guy had me as a loan officer. And it was really funny how, you know, we were paying for everything, doing our own stuff. I ended up meeting Steve at an event with Louise Thaxton. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, what that guy's doing to you is you can't do that. So mm-hmm. talk to Steve. And then Steve made it right, made me my own branch.
Cool. And then, so not your own branch. And then what area of Pennsylvania are you in?
I'm in Allentown. So it's called the Lehigh Valley, Allentown, Bethel, Easton. It's about an hour north of Philadelphia.
Is that by, I don't remember his last name, but a guy named John has a branch in Pennsylvania?
John Anthony?
Yeah.
So it's about an hour and 15 minutes east, hour and 30 minutes east of John.
Cool. And so then you've been a branch there from like 09 or 10?
Yep.
Okay, so that's kind of a long time now. Okay, so then you're a branch and then you're doing volume. And then at some point, like what was it for you where you decided, was it Carl White or was it what? Like usually it's not the coach. It's usually that, you know, the teacher shows up when the student's ready. So what was it? What was going on that you said, hey, dude, you know what? I get it. We're all ADD, but I need to make a system in order to leverage and to get the freedom and the flexibility. Like, what was that point?
So, like everybody, I was tired of the ups and the downs in the business. You know, the good months, the bad months, the flying by the seat of your pants. You know, when we came to Fairway in 2009, my father just recently passed away. Mm. And, you know, in 2008, you knew about we know about the crash.
Yeah.
My dad passed away in April of 2008. And, you know, I was the only producer and I've been the only producer for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So when something devastating happens like that, the production suffers and then I'm running a branch and I've got $20,000, $30,000 a month in expenses at the time, which pales in comparison to what we have now, but yeah. At the time it just felt so much bigger. Mm-hmm. And, my dad passed, business crashed again. So I picked myself up by the bootstraps, go through the next 2 years of the crash, struggling, come to Fairway, 09, 10, and we built ourselves back up over that year. And we're blown and going. We're like, all right, dude, we're doing, you know, 5 to 10 loans a month. It's just me and one guy. And we hired a receptionist. So it's three of us. And we're like, okay, man, we got this thing rolling. We get up to 10 loans a month, 12 loans a month. We're starting to roll in September. So actually, 2 days ago is the 7th year anniversary of this, which is my my oldest daughter's 7th birthday. Mm. She was supposed to be born January 1st. Mm-hmm. She was born on September 19th, 3.5 months early. She was 1 pound, 10 ounces at birth, mm-hmm. 12 inches long, and we didn't know if she was going to live or die. Mm-hmm. And an event in my life as the only salesperson over the next 45, 60, 70 days, we proceed to go from 10, 12 loans a month to zero. Mm. Thank God we closed the one in November. Mm. And I lost every dollar that I ever saved, which wasn't a lot because I didn't have a system for my money. Mm. Right. So I lost 60,000 bucks over the next 3 months. Literally have nothing to my name. I have a daughter who's premature. We don't know if she's going to have issues. We don't even know if she's going to survive. Mm. And sometime in October, right before November, my mind goes, I'm done. I'm not doing this again. Mm-hmm. This is the fifth time we've built ups and downs, not only ups and downs in the months, but the years. I'm done. There's no stability. My brain can't handle it. Every time something happens, I'm done. And I actually quit the mortgage business for 48 hours. Nobody knew this. And it's funny. We just had an event yesterday, and I pulled Jason, the guy who's been with me for a long time, outside. And I just had this talk with him, and I said, you know, I quit for 48 hours. And he goes, no, I never knew that. Thank God I never knew that.
Yeah.
He picked up a newspaper, and I was looking through the jobs section, and there were all the same jobs that were in the paper right when I got out of high school.
Yeah.
Selling Cutco, forklift operator. And I'm just like, and I was like, what the hell? So the pivotal point actually was the doctor calls and says, hey, we got to talk to you. Can you come to the hospital now?
Mm.
Short story. Good news, bad news. The bad news is we had to sedate your daughter. The good news is we had to do it because she was fighting too hard. She was trying too hard. She's not a quitter. She's not giving up. She must get that from her parents.
Mm.
And dude, and I get the chills every time I tell the story.
Mm.
This is my story, by the way.
Yeah.
This is my story.
Yeah.
I felt the hand of God come down and smack me upside the head and say, dude, you're not done yet. Everything slowed down. I heard the clock ticking on the wall, and the doctor's voice was like, and I just, it was such a defining moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the tears that were falling out of my eyes when the doctor said that were exploding like bombs on the incubator as I'm staring at my daughter. And I got the message, you're not done yet. You're destined for greatness. Pull yourself up and let's roll.
Mm.
So that was like sometime in November. I had met Carl a year and a half prior to that at a video event.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, no. I'm so sorry. At that time, this was the video event. I wanted to go to it. I had $0. I literally had $500 left in my name.
What was the video event? Do you mind?
It was the video marketing roundup with him, Roberto, and Frank and Brian in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I'll never forget this. This was also a defining moment. So he goes, hey, man, we're offering buy one, get one passes. And even though the event's in like a week that expired, just come on down.
Mm.
If you can fly here, just come on down. Like, I'll get your ticket. So I went there, threw everything on a credit card. And day one was so awesome. And Carl's up on stage doing his stuff. Roberto's doing his stuff. And I'm like, dude, re-energized. I'm getting the chills again, man. I'm reliving. It's awesome. And so day two, I walk up to Carl and I said, hey, man, what's your favorite charity? And he said, oh, you know, it's the Angelus House. It's this thing and that and the other thing. And I said, hey, cool, awesome. Wrote the Angelus House on the check, handed it to him, $500. It was the last $500 in my checking account.
Wow.
And I said, dude, you've given me so much value here, brother.
Mm.
Thank you. So what's really neat is he goes on stage the next day, and I had no clue he was doing this. And he said, I just want to let you know what kind of people we have in this crowd here. Michael Mayo, would you please stand up? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, goodness, wow. It was really cool. And it's in a room full of like 400 people. And he says, dude, I just want you to know, brother, if I can ever do anything for you, I owe you one, man. Because that act of generosity was so cool.
Mm.
And that man just wrote a $500 check because of the overwhelming value. And says, because I invited him here for whatever, to my favorite charity.
Mm.
So what happens next is some guy goes, hey, I'll match that. Another guy
goes,
hey, dude, I'm in. Hey, I'll match that. Hey, dude, me too. Then owners of companies were like, $1,000. And the chills are going right down my back right now. As I'm remembering this, $27,000 or something like that was raised that minute, impromptu, out of just thin air.
Wow.
And that created a moment for Carl, right?
Mm.
Fast forward a year and a half. This was 5.5 years ago. So fast forward a year and a half, he's offering a beta test coaching program. Now, mind you, in that year and a half, I'd got hooked up with the Core, and I was doing like their CD coaching. Mm. I attended a bunch of their events. Got a lot of great information.
Mm-hmm.
Started to build my team again because I'm pulled myself up by the bootstraps. You know, I think we had about four or five people on the team at that point. I think we had four people on the team at that point. Carl offers this beta test program for coaching program. He's accepting three people. Mm-hmm. And he says, do your husband. He goes, give your application. Here are the criteria that you need. I submitted my application. I didn't get called. But an email came out saying, hey, we got so many great applicants. We're accepting three more. So I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't get called. I physically pick up the phone. I call the marketing animals. And I'll never forget this. Karen Brown was working there. And I go, Karen, Michael Mann here. Hey, I didn't get my phone call. Like, for what? You have to be accepted in the coaching group. There was silence. And she goes, I'm sorry, Michael, you weren't accepted. Mm. Everybody who was accepted did a video. And you didn't do a video. Mm. So I hung up the phone. I looked at my video guy. Mm. And I said, dude, we're going to do a video. And if I want to share this video with you.
I'd love to, yeah.
Also a very pivotal time. Yeah, so here it is. So I do this video, record it, and I send this video to Carl.
In other news, earlier today we caught footage of a distraught loan officer who got news that he wasn't accepted into a beta coaching group with the mortgage marketing animals. We will show you the footage, but we warn you, this video is pretty graphic.
Hey, what are you doing? Don't jump! Mike, you're a good loan officer.
That's the problem. I don't want to be good. I want to be great. Ah! Ah! Ah, my freaking ankle. Holy shit.
Our local LVRDTV correspondent John Doe got an exclusive interview with the loan officer, Michael Mann, to find out what he was thinking.
So, Michael, the viewers at home want to know, what were you thinking? You see, I applied to this beta coaching group with the mortgage marketing animals. I submitted an application, and I don't know why, but I submitted a written application and not a video application. I did not get to show off my creative flair. People at home want to know, why would you jump off the building? I didn't know what else to do. I look up to these guys. I thought, this was my one chance.
If you would do anything different, what would you do?
I guess I would have submitted a video asking Carl White to please choose me because I'm creative and passionate about marketing, and I think I'm by far the best candidate for the beta test group.
I see. If you could say anything to this Carl White of the mortgage marketing animals, what would you say?
That's a great question, John. I would say, Carl, I know you already picked your candidates, but that one day in Dallas at the video marketing event when Jeremy Forcier brought me along as his buddy pass, when you thanked me for giving to your charity, the Angelus House, you said to me, Michael, I appreciate you, brother, and if I could ever do anything for you, anything at all, I owe you one. And you know, I'm a pretty good person to owe you a favor. But this is it, Carl. I'm calling it in. Please reconsider me for a candidate of your beta group. I'm ready to work real hard.
Michael, one last question. People would say that we look a lot alike, you and I, that we could even pass for twins, pass for the same person. What would you say about that?
Sorry, John, I don't see it. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, there you have it. Live interview with the distressed loan officer. Back to you, Jason.
Carl White, if you are out there, this loan officer needs help. He can be reached at the hotline number below.
Dude, that's amazing.
There you go, man.
That was amazing. And it was good. You're really talented at marketing, man.
Thanks, man.
You nailed the whole thing there, too. That's amazing. Wow, that was awesome. That was awesome on a lot of different levels.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And I have to share this part of the story. So if it wasn't for the 16-year-old video intern that I had, I said, let's go do a video. And then I was like, I think we got to do this. Like, I want to jump off the building. And, da, 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 da. And then I became really depressed. Mm. And I felt defeated. And I said, you know what, dude? Nah, don't worry about it. He goes, "Nah, man, you got me excited. Let's do this. It sounds cool."
Nice.
I'm like, I said, "You know what?" So, and the reason I'm sharing this, dude, I don't know if we ever share this with anybody. I'd like to get a copy of this recording at some point, perhaps.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if we can share this with people, I feel the message just right here that I want to share is, dude, don't listen to the guy on your shoulder. Don't ever go, you know what? Screw it. Nothing I would have. Because if I was about to give up, dude, and this 16-year-old kid goes, "No, dude, I'm getting the chills again."
Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah.
Guy goes, "No, dude, come on. I really want to do this." And had I not done that, wouldn't have been in the club. I wouldn't have, you know, been coached over the next 3 years. Mm. I wouldn't be coaching like I am. And, you know, who knows where I would be? Who knows? But, man, just we went for it. That you saw the counter on there. It got almost like 2,000 views. Mm. Carl sent it out to this whole entire database. It got 2,000 views. They voted. They brought me in. And I'm one of two. I'm one of three still original founding members of this group, and we've built it's just been amazing. It's been an amazing ride. So
story, dude.
Long answer to your story. What was the pivotal point? It was, you know, getting frustrated, quitting 48 hours, realizing, dude, I'm for this. And quite frankly, what I realized when I was for this was, it's not just about me. It's about building the team. It's about getting people. You know, we got 31 employees now. You know, for a whole entire marketing department that goes out to that helps other loan officers that are joining us. We got, you know, a whole entire operations staff, got processing in-house. I mean, and everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. This whole past week, people have been coming into my office just to be like, "Dude, thank you so much for, you know, a great work environment. I was so underappreciated, and I feel appreciated here every day. I was underappreciated at my own work." And like, it's not even about mortgages anymore, dude. It's like about the people that, it's about serving, you know, it's about creating opportunity and giving. And that's what's so amazing. And that's what really jacks me. It's not even about mortgages anymore.
Yeah.
It's just what we did. It's not who we are, but that's what we do, you know?
Yeah.
So,
dude, that was an incredible story.
Thank you, man. And that's just been the pivotal, that was the pivotal time. And, yeah, it brought us to where we are today. It's awesome.
What a story. So now we go to, then you're in there. You know, that was awesome. You're in and you start going through. Was it a hard sell for you to start building systems to become more systems and disciplined and structure? Or were you like, you had enough pain already with the losing all your money and you doing it your way? And you finally said, "Hey, you know what? You know, I'm in with the structure and the discipline stuff."
Oh man, I had no other choice. I've been through it three hard times, you know, let alone I go through it 6 to 8 times a year on a small scale, up, down, up, down, up, down, but three real hard times of just losing everything, crashing and burning. And that was enough. And if I was going to, what I had decided in my mind was, if I was going to do this again, I need to do something different.
Yep.
Because I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get a different result. That's insanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I needed to do something different. And that's where, you know, I got a lot of good stuff from the core. I got a lot of good stuff from, the Freedom Club. I got a lot of good stuff from, I've been coached Building Champions and the mat. I've been coached by everybody.
Right.
I just took all those nuggets and said, you know, we've got to instill that discipline and structure if I'm ever going to have the freedom and flexibility.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pain, dude. It was
always a pain doing it, but it's after it's amazing. You nailed it with the freedom and flexibility. And, but what's interesting is it's fascinating, dude, because it's almost like everybody has a variation of that story that it usually comes from pain. Like they want it like, yeah, that whole systems and structure stuff. You know, that's for people that like to do that. I'm just going to keep doing it my way. And they get slapped around enough, you know, no matter what it is. So that was cool and fascinating too. So now you're at Carl's. And what are your big, so yeah, you're taking it from three different places. But what are your biggest takeaways? Like when you look back on all your coaching, what were like your you know, if you pared it down like this, like here are the top five things that I learned from coaching. And what are the top five things that you learned from the various coaching programs?
All right. I got a couple things here and maybe some other things will spark as I keep talking. But one of the biggest, so as far as systems, right? I mean, I can just say systems and then we can move on from that, putting systems into place. But more importantly than that, if somebody can do it 80% as good as you, delegate it.
That's a powerful quote.
Yeah. Delegate it. I don't know if I have to expand on that.
I don't know.
Yeah. If somebody can do it, so I can expand on that with my second biggest thing. So if somebody can do it at 80% as good as you can, delegate it. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm not as important as I thought I was.
Wow. So these are all mindset. This is interesting so far.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. Brother, it's all. you know, there's another saying that I use a lot, like achieving or, you know, growing or getting to where you want to be or on your path. Anyway, it's simple, but it's not easy. Mm. And the reason it's not easy is because it's all mindset. So I'm not as important as I think I am is a statement of I don't have to be doing everything right. I don't have to be the one returning the phone calls, putting out the fires, running the person's credit. It doesn't have to be me. But we're such control freaks in this industry that it took me a long time to realize that. And when I realized that, it took me a long time to let it go. And after I let it go, it took me a long time to stay let it go because I kept jumping myself into, and it was a long process, but not as important as I think I am. That was huge.
Let me ask you this around that, just your opinion on this. The predominance of the clients that I have are Mike Mem before, right? They're not this. And I see a lot of scarcity around that, a scarcity mindset when they say, hey, if I have to go hire somebody, then I'm going to take on a $50,000 person. That gives me more anxiety than what I think would alleviate. Did you go through any of that? And if you did, how did you deal with it?
Yes, I did go through that. And I still go through it. But it's a process that I go through now. Because quite honestly, every employee I have, not one of them cost me a dollar.
It shouldn't. They should be an investment.
They all make me money. So if you have to hire a $50,000 employee, which I mean, honestly, you know, it's not just $50,000. It's $4,000 a month plus matching the taxes. So it's another, you know, $4,800 plus it's a insurance
management, and it's management. You know, then you get into that and then you get training. Yeah.
But if you think about it, if it frees you up to go out and get two more loans, you're profitable.
Yep.
If you get one loan, it's paid for. Most of it's paid for. You get two loans, it's profitable. That's the way you got to think of it.
Yeah, keep going. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, if you're going to hire somebody and then go fishing, well, yeah, you should be nervous. If you're going to hire somebody and then sleep in until 12 o'clock, you should be nervous. But if you're going to hire somebody and then utilize that time to go out and make a few more referral partners, and believe me, it leads to way more than two loans a month. You know, you go out and get two referral partners that refer you every other month. That's, you know, another 12, what's it, 12 deal? That's another 12 transactions. Mm-hmm. And that's just one or two referral partners giving you every other month. God forbid you get somebody that gives you 12 a year, totally paid for.
No. So did you have any metric? Did you have any Excel spreadsheet? Did you like, because that mindset right now, you know, is awesome. But did you, when you were going through that process for yourself, did you have any, was there anything in any of your coaching programs? Was there anything that you looked at and said, hey, you know what? Like, or was it a function of you being in a group mastermind coaching program that you were seeing other people doing that and doing it? Like, what helped you through that part?
So as I'm starting to think about this, so we were the trailblazers. Mm. We were, there was no other people in our group doing what we were doing. Mm. We were the trailblazers. We were the guinea pigs. So The one thing that changed my mindset on this, which is really huge, and you know, as a business, you know, as a high eye personality who loves everybody and wants to be everybody's buddy and friend and doesn't want to upset the apple cart, my mindset goes, $50,000, that's a lot of money. But the truth of the matter is, if it's not a good employee, that's not going to cost you more than $4,000. If that employee isn't going to add to your, because you don't have to commit to hiring that person for 12 months. If they're a bad employee and they're not going to cost you money, you can identify that in 30 days. Maybe it takes you 60. It's only an $8,000 investment, not 50.
Yeah.
So, and the other piece about that is you don't have to hire somebody full time. We're also going to do it as a video blog. I have an agent that I was on for over a year and a half to hire an assistant. And he couldn't get it through his mind. Oh, I got to hire this person and I got to pay them. And it's $38,000. I said, dude, hire him for 4 hours a day. So you don't have to just take the whole plunge. If you're a little sheepish or a little shy to hire somebody for $50,000 a year, hire him for one day, 4 hours a day. It frees you up to make a couple extra phone calls. Go out and get one additional loan as a loan officer. Make, you know, $3,000-$5,000. You're only paying somebody $15 an hour for 4 hours. That's I'm good at math here. $60 a week, mm-hmm. $240 a month, and you just made $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the way we looked at it was, would you stand in front of that machine and put in $240? Pull that lever and it spits out $4,000. How long would you stand in front of that machine? Do it again.
Right.
Cool. Now you can afford to pay them for a full day once a week. Mm-hmm. Now you can afford to pay them. And again, just keep multiplying. So it's not all about taking the plunge all at once. You know, you can do it in bite-sized chunks.
So you were getting coaching around that for your own mindset? Because that was excellent for you coaching somebody now, but I'm also curious about your story on. Yeah. I think
you know what funny I mean? You say that. As soon as I finish that, I'm like, wait a minute. It feels like I'm giving this info out to somebody else.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Wow. Sorry. So
no, that's okay. Yeah.
You know, so my mindset was, if I'm going to do this properly, I need to make an investment into my future. I was working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, losing money because I was hiring people. I was losing money. We were writing 11 loans. I wasn't making a dime because it was all going into building the infrastructure. So I didn't have any kids at the time. I wasn't married. And I got to be honest with you, today with 3 kids and a marriage and if I had to start this from scratch, I would definitely do it differently. I was at a point, dude, when I quit for 48 hours and then said, we're going to go ahead and do this the right way. I didn't have anything to lose. I had already been broke. So if I lost everything again, it wasn't something new. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I had a little bit of an advantage over some of these people who have something to lose. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to lose. I've been there.
You just shook something loose right there.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's a big key right there.
I don't think I've ever said that out loud before, dude. That's pretty freaking revealing to me right now. Like, holy cow.
That's a big one because people get complacent. So you're making, you know, so take the average LO doing 8 units a month, making $350 a year. They're like, they've got a lot to lose right there. They've got their lifestyle, everything to go from. So, you know, this is my curiosity is around Mike Mann, 8 units a month, Mike Mann, 72 units a month, right? Like how did you get that to that, right? Sole producer, you know, 6 units a month to here, those micro steps along the way, even if you had certain coaching programs that told you from a, you know, this is who you need to hire. And this is the, you know, however the structures of those coaching programs, there's a lot more that goes into that. So that's where my curiosity is.
Yeah. And again, that's, so that was the, if somebody can do it 80% as good as you delegate it. That was a big revelation for me to delegate, because I am a recovering control freak. I am. So I think we always are, right? We don't say we were. I am a recovering control freak. So that was hard for me. But once I did that, it was another step. Not as important as I think I am. But I stepped away from that. And here's, man, gosh, it just sparks so many good ideas. You have 8 hours, man, because this is.
I actually got just to give you a heads up, I do have to leave at 2:45, but we can continue this another time. Yeah, cool. So,
you know, the not as important as you think you are thing is realtors will try to convince you that you are. I need to talk to you. I need your cell phone number.
Now you're going. So, yeah.
They're going to try, and they're going to try to suck you back into that. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will lose, and you have to be willing to lose or choose to not work with certain realtors. A real quick story that's important to share is I sat down with the number 10 agent in our area doing 40 buyer transactions. Loved my stuff, loved getting my info, loved whatever. Said, hey, I want to work with you. But if I'm going to work with you, I need to work with the man. Mm-hmm. I said, you will. Jason's the man. He goes, no. Mike, man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no. Of course we're going to work together. He goes, but if I have a lead, I want to call you. Like, dude, that's not how it works, man. And here's the reason why it's not how it works. Let me ask you, but why? Why do you want to work directly with me? Well, because when I call, I want the phone answered. Cool. We have a lead intake desk. Every time you call, someone answers that phone. No, I want to talk to you. Okay. Every time I call, I want to get the correct answer. Dude, Jason's the best. He knows all the guidelines. I don't, man. I'm sales. I'm marketing. Mm-hmm. Well, I still want to just talk to you. And I had to look at him and go, this relationship is not going to work. And I don't want to frustrate you. So, man, we have to very politely I have to decline. First of all, realtors, they don't get that a lot from loan officers. Mm-hmm. And it was refreshing to do that too, because had I tried to make it work for him, we wouldn't have grown as quickly or as good as we had, because then we're trying to appeal to this guy and do something different for this. So that was really huge. things are coming to me as I'm talking here. Number three I wrote down here was stop worrying about what other people think. That's right. So you saw that video that I wrote, I saw the video that I showed you earlier. So that was to Carl. I do videos like that to realtors. Like I do fun. Like the next video that was going to show was one of my old videos I did 4 years ago. I became very persistent and consistent with the videos that we shared or that we did. And I sent it to agents very quick for a snippet. And it was fun. It was a combo of funny, informational, call to action, and call to action for classes that I taught, and then call to action for, hey, I'm in the mortgage business.
Can you give me an example of that?
You want to show you an example?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So these are very old. This is probably, actually, this is my very first episode. Let's watch a portion of this. This is the very first one I ever did.
It's either National Ugly Sweater Day or I Have Bad Taste in Clothing. This is your WHPH Weekly, and I'm your host, Michael Mann. Happy April Fool's Week, realtors, and the joke is on us. So, the stats are in. 2011 was the worst year for home sales since 1992. To give you an idea how long ago that was, here was the number one song in 1992. Don't let the sun. Okay, realtors, keeping with that theme, don't let the sun go down on any of your phone calls or voicemail messages. Trust me, I all know we're busy, but pick up the phone. Even if you can only say, hi, Mr. Prospect, listen, I got your message, but I'm tied up right now. May I call you back either?
So real quick, that's just one of the intro ones here, but I want to show you a different
one. So that's interesting, because that's coaching them a little bit.
It is. It is coaching you. And what's really funny, so with that theme, stop worrying about what other people think of you. I got a lot of hate comments about who does this guy think he is trying to teach realtors how to do real estate. He's not
from
even
loan officers or from realtors?
No, from both. But I got that from realtors as well. Mm-hmm. I still get that to this day. I used to care. I don't anymore. But here's another example. But here's another example of how I used video to cross promote. To also help other people's business. And then it kind of just brought my popularity in the business up a little bit.
I just got back from New Mexico, and boy, is my butt sore. This is your WHPH Weekly, and I am your host, Michael Mann. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would his rear end be sore? Here it is, folks. Since this video blog is called Work Hard, Play Hard, I figured I'd show you some pics of me playing hard. I rode around the desert on this horse for an hour and a half. And if you've ever ridden a horse, you'll know what I mean. All right, folks, let's talk quick about goal setting. Are you on your way to achieving your year-end goals? Do you even have tangible goals written down? You know, now's the time to be looking at that. Don't wait until November to start looking at this. I'm holding a special free workshop to help you work hard and play hard. If you want to make more money, have more time with your family, with your friends, or just doing what you love, come attend this free workshop, and I will give you this free gift. The 7 Levels of Communication, Go From Relationships to Referrals, written by my new best friend, best-selling author, and one of the top real estate agents in the country, Mr. Michael Mayer.
So, dude, when he saw this, we got in contact. He was like, Michael Mayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, oh, dude, wow, what's going on? What's this? He took me, we got in touch, we talked. I actually flew out, stayed at his house. We talked about doing something together. But I just want to come to this part here.
Remember, if you want your free copy of this book, all you have to do is comment below. I don't care if it's a one-word comment, but I really would like to hear your feedback. So remember, until next time, work hard and play hard.
One of the biggest things in my career was teaching classes and being influential like that, helping, trying to give free info, give free content. I used to go to everywhere. Hey, you're the guy that sends me all those videos. Every realtor at every event would be like, hey, I saw your stuff. So that was really, really big. That was probably the biggest thing that I did. Not only did we do those videos, I took the piece out of the Michael Mayer 7 Levels book, the Home Court Advantage, the stacking, and I did that for 2 years in a row. So I met with 4, 5, 6 agents in a row at the same restaurant, and I did this Tuesdays and Thursdays twice a week for literally 100 weeks. Mm-hmm. I did it for 2 years. And these videos would go out. Everybody would get it. Everybody would comment. Everybody who commented, we followed up. They came to our classes. After the classes, I'd have a phone caller call those people and say, Michael would like to get together with you. How's Tuesday or Thursday at this place or this place? And literally, on Tuesday, I would wake up, shower, jump in my car, go to this place for breakfast, and the people would come 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1 every single week. It was amazing. And I never had to set the appointment, never had to do the follow-up because I had a team that did that. And everybody would meet each other. And then I became, like Michael says in the book, the connector of connectors. Mm-hmm. So the realtors would know each other, would come, sit down, they would meet, they would cross paths. And then they'd be like, wow, this guy's is amazing. It was absolutely awesome.
So my big question right now as I listen to you is, do you remember your first hire? What was their job description? What was the second hire? What was their job description? How did you start building that so you had the time to go do that Tuesdays and Thursdays? What was the first hire in the Michael Mann team?
First hire was Jason. Jason was a loan officer with me back at my second place I worked. Just a loan officer. He was doing 1 or 2 loans a month. Didn't need more want for any more than that. He's been with me the longest. And when it was just down to just me and him, I looked at him and said, hey, how'd you like to do 10 loans a month? I'll go get the business. You write it because you're really good at that. But he was bad at going out and getting the business. So I went out and got the business. I talked to the client, took all the info and had him do the research, do the pre-qual, do the follow-up. He did the appointment. He did the loan app. And then I went out and sold.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got that to where it was just him and I. We were doing 8, 9, 10 loans a month, and it got to be a lot. So then we hired another person, we would call them the receptionist, to do intake. So they would take the incoming phone call. It would free Jason up because I wasn't taking the phone calls anymore. They were all going to him.
From the agents or from the borrowers?
From the borrowers. I was talking to the agents.
Okay, so you were still talking to the agents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The agent says, hey, Mike, you know, I've got Johnny that's buying a house down the thing. And that you had a receptionist talk to the borrower first and then go to Jason?
Well, at first, so before the receptionist, the borrower would come to me. I'd take all the info. And then I transitioned out of that. Mm-hmm. So then I would be like, oh, hey, thanks for calling. Let me get my loan partner on the phone, Jason. He'll be able to take care of you. Connect them, and then he would just take it. And then eventually I took my cell phone number off my card. We've got a lead intake desk. Mm-hmm. That went to him directly. Eventually he would have to get me involved sometimes in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I would go, oh, hey, yeah, thanks for calling, but Jay's going to take great care of you. We pushed it back. So then we advertised only one phone number, so all the leads came into one place. Then we were doing 8, 9, 10, 12 loans a month, and he was doing it all. Mm-hmm. And he's like, bro, I'm swamped. Mm-hmm. So we hired a receptionist. She took all incoming phone calls. She would take the information and then give it to Jay. So it saved a little bit there. The fourth hire was another loan partner because now Jay was doing 10, 12 loans a month. Mm-hmm. I needed to get somebody else to do that. So that was another loan partner. And then we replaced our intake person with another because she left. And then I just started multiplying the loan partners. So eventually I had 4 loan partners writing between 5 to 12 loans a month.
So your definition of a loan partner, maybe in my model, I would call it a junior LO. Is it the same or what would you see as different?
So here would be the difference with that. The junior LO is somebody who comes in, writes their own business, kind of wants to do their own thing, but I can help them grow their business. Mm-hmm. And I have those. A loan partner, so that I think there's 2 types of loan officers. One that's really good at the detailed paperwork, writing the app, explaining to the client 3 times why mortgage insurance will never fall off on an FHA loan. You know, that's not me. Mm-hmm. The other type who's really good as a loan officer is me. Going out, shaking hands, kissing the babies, talking to realtors, schmoozing, hey, bringing the business in. The problem is that typically those 2 people are not the same person. Mm-hmm. That's a unicorn. If you're the same person and can do both. And plus, it doesn't lead to a very good life either. So I'm the one type. Jason was the other. Mm-hmm. Every one of my loan partners that came on was doing 1 to 2 loans a month, but they were really good at doing those 1 to 2 loans.
Right.
They were just terrible at going and getting other ones. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at going out and getting business. Dude, let's partner up. Mm-hmm. So that's the definition of a loan partner. A loan officer.
Do you mind sharing? You don't have to get into details because this is being recorded, but did you pay on a loan partner from a general perspective? What did you, how did you set that up from a compensation thing? Like
So that was a whole entire process that we have now. So at first it was like, okay, hey, I'm going to pay 50 bips. Mm-hmm. And we were all good with that. So, you know, we close 2 million, the loan partner makes $10,000, mm-hmm. but now they're swamped and we have no capacity.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So let's hire another loan partner. But wait a minute. What are we going to pay that person? Well, we're going to pay them 50 bips. But he's getting 50 bips. So now that's 100 bips on, you know, total, mm-hmm. total product. But, and because I didn't hire one for X amount of business and one for the other, they were both loan partners on my team. So then the one loan partner took less to kind of oversee and do a little bit less of the loans than the other one. She was getting 50 bips. So again, $10,000? Dude, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot. People are praying for that job.
Yeah, people are praying for that job. But the problem is it puts yourself into a corner because there's no room to hire other So because now I'm paying 50 bips, mm-hmm. and I bring somebody else on, and I hire a receptionist, mm-hmm. and I'm paying for the marketing. So what he ended up doing was we went to salaries. Mm. What was really cool was it created, even though it was less money per month, it created more peace with that person.
This is a key shift right here, bro.
Right? This is huge.
Yeah.
Because every single one of those LOs who's really good at the loans but not good at going out, every one of them is a high S personality. They want security and stability. And the 50 bips is not secure and stable. Nope. Even though it could result in 8 to 10 grand, even though it could be 6 grand steady, there's no stability. Mm-hmm. So it created a peaceful situation and helped from a profitability standpoint.
Do you mind sharing what the,
what I do now is I bring everybody in at 40 or 50,000 a year base. Mm-hmm. 40 if you're a little less skilled and we need to train you, and 50 if you're pretty good and you can sell the deals on your own and there's no real issues, you have product knowledge. And then based on a certain amount of volume, if you're handling a certain amount of volume, I will give you a bonus up to, an equivalent to somewhere closer to that 50 bip range. But that's only if you're performing at a very high level, inclusive of high level business. So they can still achieve a great amount of
Can you be specific? And you don't have to if you don't want to. But do you do it? Because it's...
Yeah.
If you said it like that to somebody, the first question is what does that mean? What's the metric on that?
So in my team, essentially, it's 1.25 million in closed. Okay. And we're 175 average loan amount. So that's 8 loans.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So 1.25, I throw a $2,000 bonus. Mm-hmm. And if you close over 2 million, you get a $4,000 bonus. So if you close over 2 million, you're getting somewhere between, $8,000 in that month. But here's the caveat. You're handling it all from start to finish.
Except the lead generation.
Except the lead generation. Yep. Right. You're handling from prospect to handing it into the processor, seeing it through closing.
That's beautiful, man. I appreciate you sharing that.
Absolutely, man. No, absolutely.
Because there's a lot of shifts in there that you just, and there's a lot of distinctions that
there is. And I'll share this just to be fair. That's probably aggressive. That's probably too aggressive
For your market. So me, I'm national. So it's, if you're in Seattle, that's probably not too aggressive. If you're average, because it's a unit, you're talking about 8 units, right? So if you go to Seattle and the average loan amount's 400,000, the metrics all change. So
they have to change, because I know they make way less of a commission on $400,000-$600,000. Mm-hmm. So if you did that, it's like 2 loans, and you're not going to give somebody a bonus on that. But what I would say is actually from a P&L standpoint, I could probably afford to bump that down a little bit, because that's a lot of money. Because I'm still paying for, we still have the intake people.
Yeah.
So my loan partners don't have to take the hi.
Oh, so they're not generating leads, and they're not even doing the initial intake.
No, they're only getting people who are able to be pre-qualified with good credit scores and say they have money to put down, or USDA or whatever.
And then they're taking it all the way home. So they're liaison in between the processor and the underwriter steps. They're talking to the client. They're the ones through the whole process talking to the client.
Absolutely. But they are the ones that are taking somebody with a good credit. So my loan partners don't talk to anybody with a 570 credit score. They don't have that conversation. That gets nipped in the bud right in the beginning. Mm. So they're getting, only people who are able to be qualified. And they're selling the deal, structuring the deal, doing the loan app, doing the disclosing, mm-hmm. Putting the pile together, and then handing it off.
Let me ask you this. So then I heard you say, I don't know if it was being recorded at the time, but you said 72 units last month. Is that what you said? Are you
72 was 2 months ago. Last month was 63, something like that.
So projection is maybe 1,000 units a year? Is that where you start to look at it? Are you looking at 800, or what's the projection there?
So far, And again, in our market, the beginning of the year is a lot less than the middle of the year. But we just surpassed 80 million closed.
Which is a lot with a 175 loan amount.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that is, but it is 457 so far this year. So we've got, and well, that's actually, that's through August, December, four more months. We'll probably eclipse 700. And that's the best we've ever done. Last year, our goal was to close one loan a day. We closed 366. So wow. This year, we're already at 457.
Dude, I thank you so much for sharing that. I feel extremely grateful that you just shared that.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate the time. If any of this information interests you or you're looking to grow your business as a loan officer, I want you to reach out to us. Reach out for a free strategy call here with me or someone on my team. We'll give you the time of day. You reach out. Look in the description of the podcast. There will be a link you can click on, schedule some time with me and my team. And, man, if we can help you grow your business, we'd be happy to do so. But don't forget to give us 5 stars on this podcast here on iTunes or whatever other platform you're listening to. So thanks a lot for your time. And until next time, have an outstanding day.